Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Okay. Hello, everybody. We are having a few difficulties, and that's why we are joining the program just a minute or two late. And this is Doug Kelly, host of Paranexus. Welcome to Paranexus Universe. I'm here with Grant. Hey, Grant.
Hey, everybody. Sorry about the technical problems.
And we are also here with our good friend and guest tonight, Gregory Kent. Hey, Gregory.
Hey, Doug. Hey, Grant. I'm sure you're going to blame me for this.
We would never do anything like that, Gregory. Never, never, never. It's nice to have you with us tonight.
Thank you.
All right. Today is Thursday, November 13th, and 2008, and we are getting off to just a smidgen of a rocky start, but we're going to do fine, aren't we, guys?
Absolutely.
Well, they're going to do fine. I'm going to screw up. All right. A couple of points I wanted to get out there before we get into the meat of our show. So I know some of you were expecting to hear Robbie Thomas on tonight with us. And as it turned out, he canceled for the second time on us. And I debated whether to take the high road or not, but I just didn't appreciate that. So he won't be on tonight, and we have instead our own psychic medium, Gregory P. Kent, and that's him bellowing up peace. So tonight, if you'd like to ask questions, we're going to basically talk about psychic's role in an investigation, and Gregory's had a lot of experience that way, so I'm sure he can right all the wrongs, teach us some new things, and basically put the fear of God in us. Well,
and you know, the other thing that we wanted to do too, Doug, was we wanted to maintain a kind of a continuity as long as our primary guest had kind of bowed out on us. We wanted to bring Gregory in so that we could bring some continuity to our discussion last week. And we thought that Greg would really augment that last program with, taking it from the medium's view and, you know, how he approaches investigations. And, you know, matter of fact, when the three of us put our heads together, the whole process changed, and Gregory was very instrumental in that.
Oh, yeah. In fact, let's just give some background on Gregory. He's been, of course, on our show before, a couple of times even guest hosted with us. So here's the lowdown on Gregory. He's a certified paranormal investigator and licentiate minister with the American Federation of Spiritualist Churches. His mediumship includes clairvoyance, clairaudience, and working with psychic or physical. Is that supposed to be psychical phenomena?
Physical phenomena.
Gregory? Okay, it is right then. Gregory uses his gift to help those in need to find closure and peace with loved ones who have passed on, or to help clients in dealing with paranormal activities in their house. He is also a member of the prestigious Paranexus Research Foundation. Hey, Gregory, go ahead.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm happy to fill in. Where would you like to start?
Grant's got a question, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, let's take it from like how we kind of started off and how we've also evolved. I think within the last couple months or within the last 6 months, we've really changed our whole approach to how we do our initial and preliminary investigations. And we all had similar feelings. Why don't you just kind of elaborate on why we decided to go that way?
Well, what has it been, 2 years now since I joined the team? The team got started.
I am not sure if who's gotten dropped. It was me.
No, I'm still here. Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you.
I'll go and chat again and let everybody know what's going on here.
Okay, everybody, we are back on. Sorry about the glitch. For some reason, we're having internet drops like crazy tonight, and if they continue, we're just going to cut the show short and go try to besiege the internet gods. So let's pick up where we were at before I got dropped. Go ahead, Grant. You and Gregory knew where you were at.
Yeah, Gregory was kind of talking on, expounding on how we kind of evolved, so. You can take it back, Gregory. Go ahead. We'll try it again.
It's really interesting how we haven't evolved the past 2 years to where people were very skeptic about having a medium or sensitive on the team going into an investigation because they didn't really know the validity of what they could attribute to the team. But over the past 2 years, I think we've proven ourselves as mediums or sensitives to what we can contribute, and I think we're very viable to the team now, if you would agree with me on that.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and the thing that I really think that we've come a long way is, if you recall, when we first went out and did some of our investigations, we had a lot of people there. Of course, we were in a big facility like Bartow Courthouse. And we had a lot of folks. And then I remember as time went on, sometimes we go to smaller investigations, but I remember talking to you and Doug and I would all kind of chime in and you would say things like, well, you know what, it sure would be nicer if we could get a smaller group to go out and start our investigations, because if there's any activity in here with a lot of folks coming in, we might just be chasing it out. And, you know, that whole idea kind of grew and expanded and became kind of I really feel that that's the foundation for how we conduct any type of, you know, high strangeness that are related to hauntings with Paranexus. And that was really instrumental in us evolving, I think.
I agree. It's very important to go out into small groups, because if you bring 8 to 10 people, that's 8 to 10 energies you're bringing into a house. And for any medium or sensitive, that's too much energy, way too much energy for such a small space.
Yeah, and it would seem to me counterproductive to try to, you know, tap into any of that energy if we're all running around bumping into walls with EMF meters or, you know, doing other things that it just kind of adds to the clutter, I would imagine. So when we
I agree.
You know, when we do our investigations, we talked a little bit about this last week too, Gregory, was that we don't tell anybody anything. And you know, one of the reasons why is we don't want to contaminate. But it's been absolutely remarkable, the contribution that yourself and other team members who have gifts, your contribution has been absolutely instrumental. I mean, we can't, you know, absolutely verify, you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, you know, with photographs or, you know, but the impressions that you've had on more than one investigation have really, you know, been related to the scene, and there's a historical context for it in some cases, which is really remarkable.
Well, thanks. It is important for the medium or the sensitive to be able to give reliable information that is verifiable, or else what's the point of even giving that information to the team? So you are right, but it has to be a fact that can be checked without beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, and I guess what I meant was that if we don't if we don't contaminate you with information, or we don't contaminate other team members with a preconceived notion, then that leaves everybody more open-minded in terms of how they're going to approach the whole, whether it's a home or a theater or some sort of facility, as to how they come into the investigation without those preconceived notions.
Oh, absolutely. It's very important not to tell us anything. Let us prove to you the knowledge that we find at the house or the location that we're investigating. All the pressure's on us to prove beyond the shadow of a doubt what we know, and we can, you know, things we can contribute to the team.
Now, for some folks who might be, you know, thinking about starting their own group, and, you know, even though we just kind of barely got into the show here and talking about the advantages having mediums or people with psychic gifts in your team, how do you think that, or what would you say is the best way to go about getting members of the team who have those gifts? How would you say, what would you want to look for in a medium or somebody with psychic gifts?
Good question. You have to look for someone who obviously is compatible with the group, someone, you know, who gets along with everyone, someone who's going to leave their ego at home. A lot of the psychics or mediums seem to have the large egos, and unlike me, of course, Doug. And those people, you want someone without the ego, without the baggage, that's going to walk in with an open mind, and it's going to share everything and really ask nothing in return other than, you know, it's just the satisfaction of knowing they could help the team. That's what you really look for.
Yeah, so you're looking for somebody who has a good attitude, fits in with the group just like you would any other team member, except that this person has a special talent in terms of maybe able to sense something in the investigation or help us with additional information.
And I'd like to add, too, that you're looking for somebody who's grounded, you know, a psychic who's grounded.
Right. Someone who's grounded and someone who doesn't see evil around every corner.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely a biggie. We've been on a few investigations where we've had some folks that have seen evil around every corner, and that can be very detrimental in any kind of investigation.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Right. I think you could create more problems inviting people who are always stating they see everything all the time. I mean, I'll admit sometimes when I go into investigations, I don't sense anything. You know, I have nothing to prove. I'll tell you that I don't sense anything at this moment, and I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm. Whereas somebody who wasn't going to be as legitimate is going to try to cook up something just to fill in the blanks.
Absolutely. They're going to cook up something just to fill in the blanks. They're going to create something that's not there and lead the team on wild goose chase things and just waste a lot of time and energy.
You know, why don't you tell our audience about your philosophy? If I know we've talked about this before, but if you feel that there's somebody in a home that's dabbling with the occult or, you know, fooling around with what they think are the black arts or that the vibes are that way, tell folks how you proceed.
Usually when I go into a house and someone is dabbling in the occult, I always see someone hooded. A hooded figure lurking in the background, never wanting to come to the forefront for me to really connect with. They're always in a far-off distance watching what I'm doing. And to me, that's just a symbol or a sign that someone is dabbling in things they don't know what they're doing. And by dabbling in that, I mean, there are individuals who do that as a religion, who do that as a profession, who know what they're doing, and they're professionals at it. That's okay. Then there's individuals who just don't know what they're doing. They're dabbling with it, and they're opening up this doorway between this world and that world and bringing in things to their home and to their life that they really don't know what it is. They don't know how to deal with it. And sometimes the energy is creating havoc in their homes, and that's why they're having the problems they're having. And if I see that in a house, I'll ask, okay, who's dabbling in this? And probably 100% of the time, someone will say, well, I am. Okay, well, that's why you're having these type of energy issues, because you're dabbling. You don't know what you're doing. So either go buy a book and understand what you're doing so you can control the energy better, or just stop doing it.
And I'd like to add something to that as well. You know, I want to make a point that we're not saying that – I don't want to be grouped with any of those groups who say stuff like, oh, you know, just say no to Ouija boards and, you know, we're afraid of all that stuff and people who cast spells. I honestly don't believe in any of that. You can cast all the spells you want on me and they're not going to work because I just don't believe in it. And, I mean, I can go out in the backyard and grab a handful of grass and start cooking up a brew and start saying a bunch of spells. Is it going to have any effect? Only on people who would believe it. So I think that there's a huge issue with the people that Gregory's talking about. When they're dabbling in this stuff, so often they are coming from a point of that belief system. I mean, Grant, remember when we went to on that case in near Ocala, and the person had been reading the
Necronomicon.
Yeah, and bought into it, and was very worried that his reading that and doing that stuff was what was bringing all this stuff on. Remember that? So I just wanted to add that point that. And I think Gregory put it well. They need to understand what they're doing and understand the reality of it.
Well, the other thing, one thing I kind of admired when you talked about it, Greg, in the past was I kind of thought, you know, my spin on it was you go in there, the energy feels really negative. And you know what? That's because it's coming from those folks. And that means that they got stuff that they got to work on, you know. I mean, anybody, and this is just me going up, climbing up a soapbox, and I'll climb right back down. It just seems that if they got all that negativity, you know, and they're dabbling in that sort of stuff, then, you know, they're not really being clear-headed. So,
absolutely. I have been on investigations or at least a preliminary investigation with another team member where we go in with our video with the permission of the homeowner. We go in with the audio recorder with the permission, and I've had to stop it and let the homeowner know, you know, you've invited me in as a psychic or as a medium. I'm seeing things you're doing that I don't think should be put on video or cassette. So you've invited me to your home. You need to be prepared for everything that I see in the energy that you're doing, and what they're doing with the drug abuse, things of that nature. They're actually bringing their energy levels down to a lower level where you know, you invite a lot of negativity into your household when you do that.
And it also has to do with their state of mind, too, I think. That's such a great deal of it, you know, which relates to exactly what you're saying. And one of the things I always admired about you is where you say that if you went into a house like that, you'd be very polite and let them know, you know, hey, there's something going on here and I really don't feel comfortable for whatever reason. Y'all got to work it out, or but this isn't the right time to do this. And whatever you're doing, maybe you need to stay away from that or work on this issue or whatever. And so, you know, that to me is just a much more ethical way to conduct an investigation if you're picking up that kind of vibes.
Right. That's a good way of putting it. You have to be ethical when you go in to a client's home. They've invited you. They've entrusted you to come into their house. And you just can't go in and start blurting out everything you see and everything you hear, because you have to filter it. They might not be ready for the information. Even though they invited you in the house, they're not ready. So you have to ease them into it. You know, start painting the picture for them to follow along. Then when they're more receptive to what you're saying, then you can start giving them more information. Yeah, you have to protect the client at all costs.
See, and I think that's a good point. That's another thing to add to your list of what do you look for in a psychic or a medium, is somebody who's not going to go into a location and start blurting out, yeah, see this dude over here, this lady over here, this kid over here, this demon over there. They're not going to just blurt out everything. They're going to assess it. They're going to look over the situation and come to some mental understanding of what it all means, how it all fits together. And I know Gregory's told me this before. There's some stuff that just doesn't apply. It just doesn't matter. It's not part of what we're there for. And so you having a good set of ethics, you don't really go there.
Right. And I think since we do not charge, you know, we can go in not having to really feel obligated to produce any results if there aren't any to produce. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's happened all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And we were talking about that on a show last week about how, you know, how some folks, on previous shows, where you'll go out and they're just stupefied when you don't have anything to really report, that you don't have anything concrete. And I'm not taking anything away from what they may experience when we're not there. It just means when we go there, we're not picking anything up. And I've been stunned at the number of people who will go, well, there's still something here.
They believe it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We are stepping into their reality. It's their reality. So we're visitors in their world. So if they believe it's there, it's there.
Absolutely.
So we work around that reality as the best that we can.
Right. And, you know, which is another reason why we kind of went smaller, so that we can pick up on the subtleties as a smaller team. And then if we find things that, you know, lend credence to what the family or the individual is experiencing, then we can expand our investigation and do it in greater depth.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What I've also found, when someone invites you to their home for an investigation, they always have an invited entourage with them, family members. What I have found interesting is the person they invited in to watch, I usually can pick up on whoever the invitee was more than I can the people of the house. So if I can't find something in the house for the homeowner, at least I can talk to someone they invited and help them with the situation that's going on. So it's you know, it's not always a dead end or lost evening. Someone always benefits somehow.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. When you come into a home and you do detect stuff, and how do you feel or how do you approach disseminating the information that you're picking up? I know you kind of alluded to the fact that you're going to want to go about it gently, but would there be any circumstances where you would not present in that manner, where you might want to feel like you want to tell them right out, or is that something that you have to assess with the individuals you're working with?
You have to assess the individuals you're working with. You give them a little bit of information about the bigger picture you're seeing. If I see a gentleman that I believe is their father, just as an example, I'll mention a father energy, and I'll watch their reaction. If it's a reaction that I don't need to go any further, I respect that they had maybe some issues, and I'm not going to go any further with that. But if they're open and receptive and say, well, yes, and start asking me more questions, then they've opened the door for me to start giving information. It's, you know, it's kind of like kid gloves in a way. You have to always protect the client.
When you've gone into a home and you detect energy when you first go in, in a small, say, a smaller type of preliminary assessment, how does that energy initially present itself to you, Gregory? Is it feelings? Is it things that you see, or is it a combination of those, of all?
Eventually, it's a combination of all, but initially, it's the clairsentient, where you're just sensing. You're sensing sometimes you just sense something's not right. The energy just doesn't feel right. And that's something anyone can do. It's that pit of the stomach. Something's just not right in this house. And you're right. There is something wrong. There's something going on. Some sort of energy in the physical or spiritual is setting the tone where you walk in and it just doesn't feel right. So what do? You start walking around the residence or the business, wherever you're at, and feel where the majority or the strongest energy is coming from, and that's kind of where you concentrate your efforts in that area. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So because it's got to be. I would think it's got to be a combination of a lot of things, and what it depends on in the house. And if you could give it a percentage, how many times would you say that when you go into a home, you feel something that is not necessarily negative, but you feel maybe not, for lack of a better word, just it isn't quite right, but it's nothing ominous, but. It's, you know, obviously it's of concern to the folks, but a friendly presence, let's say. How would you handle that differently? Same way, talking to the folks and trying to figure out who it is by whatever you're picking up?
Well, if it's going to be an energy that I feel good about, I'm going to explain it in detail quicker, faster, bring them in on it as soon as I can, because, you know, even though the energy is there at the moment, doesn't mean it's going to be there again in 30 minutes. So I need to collect as much information as I can and share it with the client as fast as I can. And, you know, sometimes it's the whirlwind, their head spinning because I'm giving them so much information, they don't know which direction to go. And they're standing there in a stupor sometimes, not knowing I was going to be able to do that. So, you know, it's almost a catch-22.
One of the things I've always enjoyed about working with you, Gregory, is that you also try to help us get a view from your perspective. I've always admired the way you interact with the other team members, trying to help everybody as how you move around. And I think that's the epitome of what you want in somebody that's going to come in and have those sensitivities to really help the team members in how they approach it. Because I think a lot of times folks I think in my particular case, I'm just like going to go charging in, and I think that you just have to kind of, I don't know, be more relaxed. Does that make any sense?
It makes perfect sense. How wonderful and rewarding is it for me to be able to help someone like yourself or Doug or any other team member feel, see, you know, sense everything I am about the energy in that place. You know, I'm not territorial. I want everyone to develop their abilities so we can all share the experience.
And that's an interesting thing in and of itself. And before I comment on that, I'd just like to tell our audience that if you'd like to ask Gregory a question, feel free to call in. Don't be shy. This is just a nice conversation here. The number is there on your screen, 347-945-7799. If you have a headset on your computer, you can click on that button on your viewing screen there at the top where it talks to where you can connect to us. We'd love to take your calls or your questions in chat. And getting back to what you'd mentioned, that always fascinates me. And we've talked about that, but I have found, and Grant, I think you have too, that when we're with Gregory on an investigation, it's like he's an amplifier.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Gregory, you and I talked about that the other night, and it's, you know, I'm at the point now where I think I have decided I'm going to go forward with trying to develop more psychic abilities. Gregory's worked with me a little bit, and I know he's worked with Grant, and we'll see where that goes. Yeah, he's laughing at me, and I'd laugh at me too. But you know, and it's not just a belief system. But when I've noticed this when we're around him, it's like things just come. Grant, they come to you. I can see that.
Gregory does amplify us. Yep.
It's like you're answering. I'm thinking, how does Grant know that? And yet you answer with such conviction that does not happen otherwise. So it's just an interesting phenomenon.
I think what it is, it's like when you go to Woolworths and buy that lucky rabbit foot, that good luck charm, it really has no power. It's the power you give it. Both of y'all are very talented individuals. You've got that power and ability, but for some reason, you look at me as that lucky rabbit's foot, but you don't need me. You just need to build your confidence and do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to kick us out of the nest, Grant.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. He's done a pretty good job. I've come a long way. We got a question from the chat room, and Jen wants to know. I'm just going to rattle off her question. It says, when you visit people's homes, is there a particular room that tends to be more psychically active? So I guess, Greg, the question is in investigations, do you find rooms that are more active than others?
Usually the master bedroom has a lot of energy, obviously, in it. Living rooms have obviously a lot of energy in it, and hallways have a lot of energies. Hallways usually have a lot of what I call portals. They're the doorways from between this world and the next world. For some reason, they're always in hallways. Maybe it's because it's confined, but those are the areas that have the most energy that I found.
Mm-hmm. So smaller
hallways,
spaces.
Small confined spaces like hallways are usually where I feel the portals opening up. Master bedrooms, obviously couples spend a lot of time in a master bedroom, so that's an energy source also.
What about closets?
I don't go into closets.
Oh, you big baby.
There Why? Are some, you know, because honestly, people's closets are private, and I don't need to be in there.
Uh-huh. Okay, I agree with you on that, and that's a good point. You know, don't go snooping in closets. But in general, have you ever had opportunities where they have reported we're getting some strange stuff around the closet area, so they're inviting you to check it out? So closets hold no special meaning. Okay.
No, even when I do house cleansings, I still will not go in the closet. I stand at the door and do what I need to do and move on. For some reason, that's just off limits.
What about
Hey,
addicts?
Gregory, does the structure of a building that you're investigating have any bearing on the impressions that you pick up? Like, let me set an example. Like, were your impressions when we were in the Bartow courthouse different based on the way the building is constructed as opposed to, you know, like your simple Florida wood frame house?
Well, obviously the courthouse, you're working with huge rooms with lots of space.
Mm-hmm.
So someone with the psychic gifts would almost have to expand their aura, their energy field, to compensate that large a space.
Okay.
And, you know, a lot of mediums, sensitives, don't want to send their energy out that far.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be able to keep your energy in tighter, so the homes and smaller spaces are easier to work, in my opinion.
I guess, you're familiar with the stone tape theory that, you know, that things can, you know, some people think that residual information or sounds can be somehow recorded on stone or iron or structures in a building. And I just wondered if, from a psychic standpoint or a medium standpoint, if you can feel any difference, say if the house was built of stone and it was still small, if you'd be able to, say, get stronger readings as opposed to, you know, something that was built like of something, you know, less dense than stone. You know, wood or...
I'm not familiar with that, Grant. I personally like working with wood better than I do metal. That's
mm-hmm,
just a personal
mm-hmm.
preference.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But sure, what he's getting at is the residual hauntings where there's really no intelligence behind him. They're just an imprint on space and time. Some think it's...
Mm-hmm.
due to the geological structure of the ground, or it could be the building or whatever, but intense emotion can be in as much imprinted on that. And
yeah, and I just wondered if that was if that kind of material would intensify the psychic, energy that was there as well. I mean, you know, I just think of, you know, like the old castles or Lapp Castle or places like that over in Europe where they are small in some areas and confining. That, maybe that stone itself has something to do with it, but who knows?
Maybe the stone actually would hold the energy in more than a,
mm-hmm.
a wooden framed building.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find a difference?
Talking off the top of my head. I've never been inside of a castle, so I don't know.
Well, what about a brick and mortar, like the courthouse, for example, versus a wood house? I mean, have you, any difference to you? Does it make any difference?
No. Honestly, I've never really thought of there being a difference, Doug, to be quite honest with you.
Okay. What about addicts? Any special significance to addicts as an energy location?
Haven't been in addicts, but addicts, again, to me, would represent a small space, small confined space. So I would think if there were any energies in there, there'd certainly be strong energies. But I haven't investigated addicts.
Okay. Well, if anybody has got questions for Gregory, write them in the chat room or give us a call. We'd love to hear from you, 347-945-7799, or click on the talk button there on your screen if you have a headset for your computer. If you are thinking about adding psychics to your team, or if you have questions about that, we'd love to hear them. I personally think there's a huge benefit to having psychic mediums on the team, and it just is, it's like another direction, another tool, another aspect of information we can gather. And if nothing else, it often will allow you to go in a direction. I mean, it's not it's common knowledge that if you've got a psychic on the team, they can often identify the hot spots, or at least give you some place to start. And we've done that numerous times. And I especially love the aspect that Gregory brings to the table. Yeah, the pun was intended. Mm-hmm. The table tipping. Yep. You know, and I personally believe in the value of getting a group of people together in a small group and doing effectively a seance, whether that's using a table tipping or whatever. I think some interesting stuff can come out of that, and we certainly have had interesting stuff. And I'm not talking about the Hollywood scary stuff. I'm talking about doing essentially a vigil with people around in a circle. And, you know, there's just no difference. And we've said this before on the show, and I say it in the CPI course. There is no difference between turning on a digital recorder and saying, are there any spirits here who want to communicate with us, and doing a seance. They're both the same thing. It's just that so many people have these funky ideas based on religion and TV. So I really enjoy the table tipping aspect of it.
Well, you know, it always helps. I think if you've got a young team together and they really haven't experienced it, I think it really will open their perception in terms of what may actually be possible. Because if you're going in very skeptical and you see the energies that build up around the table, it's a very interesting experience because I wonder about when Gregory says that all of us have talent, that really makes me inclined to believe it when we do some of the seances. Just the energy that kind of goes through that table is enough to convince very skeptical people. When you see the table move, and I've seen it move under circumstances that it shouldn't have moved in such a fluid manner. So it's always interesting. Mm-hmm. Very interesting
stuff.
You
have to be at it. You have to experience it to believe it.
And it's almost like a meditative experience when you have the right folks, and that makes it so much better. And, you know, like, and I'm sure, Gregory, you can expound on this. You know, whenever you're doing that, you don't know who's actually going to come in, correct?
That is correct. Of course, my guides and my relatives are supposed to help out with those trying to come in, but you never really know who's going to come in. And sometimes it's a surprise to the people that are participating in the seance, if we're going to call it that, about who comes in, the information that's presented. So, yeah, it's always interesting, and I'm never one to shy away from a good seance.
Mm-hmm.
That's the spirit.
Absolutely.
So, what would you recommend for people who want to develop their psychic ability?
I would recommend that they work initially with someone that they trust, someone who's proven themselves in the field. And I say that because you have to be able to be comfortable working with people. You have to be comfortable giving information that makes no sense to you, but it makes sense to who you're talking to. So by working with someone who is experienced, you become a better channel for spirit to communicate through. So find someone you feel comfortable with, work with them, build up your abilities so you can go out and do some investigations and have significant information given to you, so you can help the client. Is that what you asked before, Doug?
Yeah, and aren't there some institutions that also try to train or heighten, a person's psychic ability? I know that that in Casadega that they have a lot of classes there, and that that's something that's part of the spiritualist movement is to try to help people develop those skills. But I don't think that other than probably but you'd know better, Gregory. Are there any other folks that do that other than the spiritualists?
There's a group up in West Virginia, the Monroe Institute. They don't bill themselves as that, but that is what they are doing there. Mm-hmm. They do that through the through sound therapy. Mm-hmm. You also have the Arthur Findlay College over in England. I know they're doing it.
There's a lot of metaphysical shops.
I know there's
shops.
A lot. Absolutely. I was just going to say there's metaphysical shops. There's your living room seance people that are meeting with small circle groups and helping each other develop. They're out there. Sometimes they're mm-hmm. hard to find because once a group gets going, and you know some of these groups sit for years and years and years developing. So it's hard to get into a group sometimes because they're already established. And once they get a good energy vibe going, sometimes they don't allow anyone else in. They call it a closed circle because they want to keep that energy going. What they should do is once their circle gets kind of large, they should probably break off into some smaller circles and let newer people in. And not be so selfish with their energy.
Yeah, or maybe get some of those folks to recharge their energy, send it in a different direction.
Right. The best thing to do is to find a metaphysical bookstore or go online and do some posts. Some of them will allow you to put postings up looking for a group to do development work. You'd be surprised on how many other people are looking also. And there's really no avenue to find other people except through metaphysical stores or online postings.
But there are outlets so that if folks were interested and they wanted to either work with a medium, if they thought that they had these skills, they could go to like the places you mentioned or to a metaphysical store where perhaps they've got a medium there that would work with them and try to help them develop their talents, correct?
Right. You could always go to the spiritualist sites. Here in Florida, it's Casadega. New York, it's Lilydale. Out in Indiana, there's one also, and see if they know of any local groups. It's strange. Sometimes you have to look outside the state in order to find something in state. It mm-hmm. kind of works backwards sometimes. Do your Google for spiritualist church, and contact the spiritualist church and see if they have any groups or know of any groups. So
well, they usually have ongoing
some
classes,
homework.
Don't they, Gregory? Usually the spiritual churches have ongoing
churches
classes.
Usually, absolutely. And there's a lot of independent spiritualist churches out there. I know here in Florida there are a lot of them. And if you are able to contact one of them, then you should be contact the church through the internet and email them and ask if there's any classes going on. And if they're dedicated to the cause, they will refer you to someone if they know it.
Mm-hmm.
And especially this is true for anybody who feels like they have things that they're not aware of. Let me rephrase that. If somebody feels like they have psychic abilities and they haven't really done anything with them, it's important to learn about them, how to manage them, how to control them, how to make them work in a positive direction. And especially young kids, teenagers growing up, I know that there's a lot of them who have experienced this stuff, didn't want to be odd, didn't want to be different, so they repressed it, they denied it, they mm-hmm. fought it. You know, you are who you are, so if that's part of who you are, develop it and learn how to manage it. Gregory, the other question that I have in psychic development is, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm convinced that psychic development really takes place in the mind in terms of, I don't know, for lack of a better term, it's almost like something switches upstairs in the mind. It's like you begin thinking that way and things begin to develop in your mind. And that's what I wanted to ask. What would, if anything, would you suggest as far as a mindset or exercises to mental exercises to develop that?
Well, we always fall back on meditation. Meditation doesn't have to be 30-minute sitting in your living room doing mantras. Meditation could be 2 or 3 minutes sitting in your office desk, just clearing the mind and allowing information to flow freely. Now, we have thousands and thousands of ideas and pieces of information going through our brain every minute or every hour. A lot of that is psychic information that's flowing to us, and we just don't act on it. We just think it's senseless information. Start writing things down that feel strong toward, you know, if it feels strong enough that you can write it down, it's probably important information. Write it down and just sit on the information. See if it develops into something that actually happens. When you're in this meditative state, it's all it is relaxing and clearing the mind. Visualize a loved one. See if there's any information that you get on that individual. Write it down. See if it actually happens. Or next time you're talking to them, bring it up and see if it actually is true. You know, you get the information, but then what? You know, if you don't write it down or act upon it, it's useless information. So you just have to keep training yourself to do more meditation, more clearing of the mind, accepting the information that you're getting is actual, and just go from there.
You know, one thing that works for me, I think there's something to it, and I need to certainly do it more, but when you get into that meditation, when you're just going to take some deep breaths and relax and let things settle, one of the things that I like to do is try to listen and recognize every sound that's out there that within your area. For example, there are so many sounds that are occurring all around us, and we don't even pay attention to them. Like you said, there's so much information coming at us. The mind can only process so much, so you know the mind determines and selects which information is vital and which is not. So I like to just try to discern all the sounds around me while I let myself settle, my mind settle, taking deep breaths and let it go that way.
Absolutely. What I challenge people to do is take 2 minutes out of your busy day when you're out in the public arena, stop somewhere, and just listen to what's going on around you and observe what's going on around you. You know, the hustle and bustle of your everyday life, just stop, listen, and look around. You'd be surprised on how much information that you can gather in that short time, stuff you normally don't see or don't hear because you start filtering it out as that white noise background. But there's so much information out there. If you just take the time to tap into it and listen and develop.
Here's a question from Sharon in the chat room. She asks, what's the difference between channeling and psychic impressions in terminology?
Based on my understanding, channeling is verbally allowing a spirit entity to come in and verbally talk through you. That's how I understand channeling to be. Psychic impression, I believe, was the second one. Psychic impressions can be a feeling, an image that you see. Psychic impressions can be so many things. The clairsentient, clairvoyant, clairaudient, hearing. Yeah, absolutely. Channeling to me is allowing an entity to come in and talk through you. That's how I understand channeling to be.
And that's true.
If she has a follow-up question, yeah, she has a follow-up question, yeah. Please feel free to follow up on the chat.
That a lot of channelers are also referred to as trance mediums, and the degree of trance that they go into can vary. Some can go into a trance and literally not remember anything that they said throughout the trance session. Others are quasi-entranced and don't remember a whole lot, but it's they're talking like, you know, that they're dialed in, but they're not taken over. I've seen both those. Sharon does ask a follow-up. The entity then enters the person, she asks, in channeling?
The entity could enter the person's energy field or come even closer into the body, yes. I would personally only allow them to come into my energy field. That's just me being a control freak as I am. I don't want anyone to take control of my body. You know, you can enter my aura field, enter my energy field, and talk through me that way, but don't take over the body, because that's just me being a control freak.
You control freak, you.
Absolutely. I hope that answered your question. You don't
think
I'm a control freak?
I really didn't characterize you as a control freak, no. So... Well, that's a good thing. You can pay me later. All right, folks. We're coming up on toward the end of our show. Tonight's just a one-hour show. There is one more question in the chat, though, from Jen. What about automatic writing? And that, yes, that is the correct term. Are you familiar with automatic writing, Gregory, or have any comments on that?
I am. Automatic writing... there's two ways to have automatic writing. You've got the inspirational writing where the information's coming through you. You know what that information is, and you're writing it down. The other type is where you're actually your hand and the pen or the pencil or the typewriter on the computer is being controlled by something other than you, where you're writing everything out. So, yeah, there's the two different aspects of automatic writing. I've seen both, and it's interesting to watch someone who's no longer in control of the writing, and a lot of good information comes that way.
I've seen that too, and that is a bit of a, I mean, it's in a sense channeling, isn't it? At least your hand's channeling.
Yeah, absolutely. You are channeling. You're channeling the energy that wants to communicate through you. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's an interesting phenomenon to witness. We saw that once in Casadega during a table
tipping.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, I remember that.
And that was by somebody who had never done it, who didn't even consider themselves to be psychic, and amazing. Amazing thing to watch.
I'm sure we still have that automatic writing in our archive someplace, too.
Yeah, we do. We do. All right, so we've been talking tonight about, you know, the role of the psychic or medium on an investigation. And, Gregory, you want to just do a quick sum up of some of the things we've discussed and the actual role of psychic medium?
Well, anyone listening, if you would like to email me, I have a very simple web page, gregorypkent.com. You can email me there if you have any further information, any further questions. Feel free to do that. The role of the psychic, the medium, in the paranormal investigative aspect, I think we do contribute a lot. We don't always have all the answers. But, you know, daggum it, we've got some good answers. I will say that. If I can say this, a lot of the scientific equipment that's used, well, that's great. Everything has its place. But bring in a good medium, and it will certainly enhance all that scientific equipment.
And that's a good point,
with true results.
Yeah, and that's a good point.
Yeah, it's always exciting when we get psychics with impressions and we have equipment at the same time going off. That's
right.
A nice cross-validation.
We enhance each other.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is a tool. You know, even us, we're all tools in this investigation and in the research that we do. And there is no one tool per se that is used globally. And if there was, I would have to say that it would be a psychic medium. You know, I always want them on the team. And of course, we use the recorders, absolutely the digital audio recorders all the time. We'll often use cameras, we'll often use video cameras, but at this point in my research development, I just don't place as much importance on video cameras and DVR systems and EMF meters and digital thermometers and yada yada, all that stuff. I think they have a place, I think they're tools, and I think that they can and should be used, but not as I don't use them as we used to use them. We use them if there's a reason to use them. We don't just break them out and automatically use them.
The best analogy I can give you.
Over the 2 years.
Oh, absolutely.
Both of y'all have changed over the past 2 years, because when I first met both of you, you were very, excuse the expression, anal about all that all that equipment. I mean, it's taken me some long way, but thank God you're now more open-minded.
All that hard work you've done on us, Gregory.
Now I can move on.
Your job is complete.
The best analogy you can make is the one you made, though, Doug. I mean, you know, a good mechanic doesn't just work with a crescent wrench. You got to have all the tools that you can possibly use in your toolbox to try to help you when different situations come up. And it's the more eclectic you are in that toolbox, the better off you're going to be.
Absolutely. And I want to really encourage other folks listening to take on that. And it doesn't, we're not just referring to the paranormal field in terms of hauntings. You know, I'm talking about all of it. Parapsychology, ufology, cryptozoology. Even though cryptozoology is not so much part of the paranormal, it is part of the mysterious. And you take the tools that you need. And I love your analogy of the mechanic. You know, if you need a hammer, use a hammer. If you need a crescent wrench, use a crescent wrench. If you need a open end wrench or socket wrench, you do that. Screwdriver, same thing. So be open to what you're doing. And I will tell you that I don't know, Gregory, I suppose this is from your influence, and I will credit you with it. But the most important thing to me is going into a location and just observing, taking in, listening, see what's going on. And I like to let things settle. I want to just breathe. What's happening here? What are the dynamics at play? Are we dealing with client psychology? Are we dealing with other issues that are naturally explainable? What's going on before we automatically set up all the stuff? Because you got to know what you're dealing with before you can even bring out those tools. So,
you know,
that's
and
my
Well, I was going to say, it can be a waste of time. It can be a waste of time to set up all the cameras, set up all the recorders, you know, just for some simple explanation or anomaly. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of time sometimes.
And you go charging in there, and I think most new groups or researchers have the tendency to go charging in right away and setting up cameras all over the place, getting this angle and that angle. And if anything's in there, boy, it may just be creeping back into the woodwork, you know, because there's too much activity, too much energy.
Absolutely. You overpower the energy.
Well, it's been a great hour or so, and in the beginning, I apologize for some of those technical problems. The internet was just dropping out, but I'm happy to say that Grant fell down on his knees and did some obeisance to the internet gods. And
burnt offerings, Doug. Burnt offerings.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now. Who's on our show next week, Doug?
That's a good question. Let's go take a quick gander. Next week, we have, I believe it is Ed Kraft on our show. And probably many of you are familiar with Ed Kraft, who is rather eclectic in his own research, kind of man after our own heart here. He's into it all. He down in the Miami, greater Miami area, and we're going to be talking about anomalous phenomena. So it's just kind of an open thing. And Ed has served in the Army, with secret clearance. He's obviously he's into cryptozoology. I believe he's a fellow with Pangea Institute. He's been involved in haunting research and all of it, UFOs. He's got an upcoming book. I'm not sure if he's published that yet. But anyway, Ed Kraft will be with us next week. And the week after that is going to be Thanksgiving, and that's a Thursday, of course. So we're going to not have a show on Thanksgiving, let people enjoy their families and so forth. The week after that, December 4th, is Daryl Sims, the alien hunter. He's going to be joining us, and I'm looking forward to that. To that show. He is an abductee.
Yep, that'll be a two-hour show, yep.
Yeah, definitely, and I'm sure the one with Ed will be a two-hour as well. So we've got those coming up. In December, we still have two slots available. And if you are somebody who had got a message to get out or you know of somebody who would be a good guest, we'd love to hear from you. So if you can email us, just go to paranexus.org. We'd love to hear from you. You'll find our contact information there, paranexus.org. And I'd like to also remind everybody that we'd love to have you as members if you're not already a Paranexus member. We also recently launched the Paranexus Academy, and I've got the Certified Founding Paranormal Investigator course currently running. It's all, we're only in our second week. So if you're a group founder and you'd like to learn some great leadership skills, this is a 10-week course that you can still get in on. It's really a comprehensive, full-fledged leadership course in a paranormal wrapper. And so that would be excellent for group founders. And we've also got a hypnosis class starting on Monday, using hypnosis in paranormal research. It's going to be an introduction to hypnosis, what it's all about, how to use it, and you'll learn self-hypnosis and some various things like that. So that's coming up. We're also looking for folks who would like to teach a class. So if you have some area that you're very interested in and you'd like to be an instructor, then contact us. There's a packet you can request by autoresponder on paranexusacademy.org. And all I ask is that you follow those instructions and put together what you want to teach, and let's talk. We're looking for people who have a good message. We're looking for folks who are grounded, who are good teachers, and who can really put on a good online class. So if that's of interest, also check Paranexus Academy. We are going to have some more courses appearing. We're going to be adding a forensics and evidence analysis course. We're going to, I know Mike Jones is working on a course dealing with the abduction phenomena. So we've got some different things happening, and you can find out all about it on paranexus.org. We really appreciate everybody's questions in the chat room. We appreciate everyone who listens to our program. If you have questions, or excuse me, if you have ideas that would make it better, we're all ears. We're doing this literally for you. We're trying to get some great guests. We're learning, of course, in the process. But if you've got ideas on how to make it better, we'd love to hear. And we'd love to hear from you, too, throughout some of the shows that we do. Love to get some call-ins. Love to, and we're already getting a lot of questions in the chat, but if you'd like to call in, we'd love to hear you from you on a future show. So, that having been said, Grant, it's been real. Gregory,
yeah.
Thanks so much, man, for joining us
my
tonight.
Pleasure.
We appreciate
Thank
it
you
the
for
last
having
minute.
Me on.
Yeah,
yep. We'll
Gregory's
get a chance to see you
good.
Saturday night, too. So,
we'll
see in a couple
of
days. Yep, me too.
All right, folks, everybody have a great week. We'll look forward to seeing you next week here on Paranexus Universe. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
night, in the shadows, in the sky, it's Paranexus Universe.